来，整个给你放来点 light candle and incense。是啊，不多啊。All the kind of wonderful.Yeah, the lighter. Yeah. He fell. the leg bandage. He said he received ang pao twice.
One knock and hit.
Don't knock it.
Come. Okay. One more. Ingvi lah, let Ingvi. Ingvi tiếp. Ingvi. Okay. So. Jin Ho, you start the thing. You offer the tree. It's okay. It's okay. You go ahead. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu.Sadhu, 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 sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated.Then we will start our puja. Okay, let us compose. focus our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mind for me, which have commands, the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We are chanting Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Amesu Michachara Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Usawada Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapama Datana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Yanna sarpa dipena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Yanna sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana motamang vanna ganda gono petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe puje mi buddhang kesumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang puppang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivase thuno bante paniyang parikapitan anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivase thuno bante pale parikapitan anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivase thuno bante bojanang parikapitan anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya. Liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. And we can have our meditation. Oh, yeah, for the offering for Christina, let us rejoice. Yeah, just offer that. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Today is the 30th November, 2017. Thursday class. We are now having it at Brother Timo and Sister Pakmasri's house. Okay, we are off the line and we can have half an hour of meditation. those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. For those who still need to train your mind, you go ahead. If you feel that you need the mind sweeping method to calm down your whatever heedless thinking mind, you can still do so. Then after that, just relax, maintain awareness. Then whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with, you can use either anapanasati or whatever object of meditation, method, technique or skillful means that you can maintain awareness or mindfulness to anchor your mind, to stabilize the sati, you use it. Of course, the neutral object recommended by Sakyamuni Buddha is anapanasati. This one is suitable for most people of whatever personality, because it's a very neutral object, and this breathing is always there within yourself. For you to maintain life, you need to breathe. So anapanasati is very simple. You just have to silence everything, maintain attention in front of your nostril, then just feel. The moment you can detect your own breathing, then the mind moves as one in complete synchronization and harmony with the breathing. Then like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware, means the mind and the breath move as one without thought. Then breathing out, the mind is aware. So you just train your mind to have this ability to be mindful of your own breathing without thinking, without thought. Initially, if you have not trained, the wandering thought, the heedless thinking will distract you. Then within split second, your mindfulness is gone. You cannot maintain attention within your breathing. It's okay. Every time you wander off, you bring it back. Train. Patient. Then sooner or later, it will settle down. Then when anapanasati settle down, you feel very good. Because without thought, the mind is just aware. When it's aware, it will become peaceful. That's how you experience the spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. They call it piti in Pali. Then the English translation, they use many words. Some they call it spiritual rapture, spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness, or spiritual joy. You will experience that type of calmness and a type of joy because it's really peaceful. Then you continue to relax into it. Just breathe in, breathe out mindfully until this anapanasati stabilizes. Then as you continue to train, relax, piti will transform to become more refined. Then later on your mind become more quiet. But the breathing like long breath. There is a lot of clarity within each and every breath. Then you can experience a type of blissfulness. They call it sukhang, sukha. Very blissful. As you breathe mindfully, that sukhang or blissfulness of mind will arise. Then your entire body will experience that type of bliss. Then breathing in, experiencing piti. Breathing out, experiencing piti. Then breathing in, experiencing sukhang. Breathing out, experiencing sukhang. Whatever you experience, you maintain awareness. You're silent. Then later on, as you become more and more familiar, more and more adept, the breathing will transform again until it becomes very quiet and very subtle, until like no more breathing. You will reach the stage of what they call pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, where there is hardly any movement. The breath like slow down until completely stop. The very subtle breathing is internal breathing, but because your mindfulness is not refined, you cannot feel it. So it's okay. When you reach that state, you just silence everything and stay in front of your nostril, maintain mindfulness. Then not long, if you continue to be aware, silent, not long, even the subtle breathing will come back to you. When you can detect the subtle breathing, means your mind has already entered sati. Your mind has reached the more refined state of mindfulness. So this is the meditative mind. Then after that, you just silent everything and stay there. You will experience many things. You will understand many things. Then you will come to realize that mind, which is trained in sati, is very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, it can feel a lot of things because it is just aware, no thinking. And even if it were to drop to your heartbeat, you can feel your heartbeat without the need of anything to assist you, even stethoscope, no need. The doctor needs stethoscope, but you don't need. You just silent feel. You can hear the pulse of life, your heartbeat. Then around your heart area, you're silent. You can also feel the vibration within your own body. Then wherever there is contact, you're silent, direct your mind there. You can feel the vibration there. Then your brain, everything, you can feel them. So this mind becomes very sensitive. But the best is silent everything and stay at the heart. Don't do anything. Then stay with the heartbeat or vibration. Whatever that you can be mindful of, just be with it. Don't try to know until that vibration, even the heartbeat or initially like pounding very loud. Then like not calm. But after a while, as you maintain mindfulness and silence your mind, the movement will slow down. Initially, all of the thinking, the sankhara, will slow down because you can maintain awareness of the heartbeat or vibration. Means your awareness is with it. Then as you silence more and more, relax more and more, this heartbeat also will slow down, become more and more refined until finally like no more heartbeat, everything still. When there is a type of awareness within, then this silent mind, the awareness, it is very near to your thought process. The moment the mind wants to stir or create contact, create the awareness of what happened after contact, your mind will be able to detect them. That is what mindfulness is all about. So this is a silent mind, the meditative mind that is in the state of tranquility or stillness. We call it the silent mind or paucity. And this one is very sensitive. This one can meditate. This one can understand many things. So I'd like you continue your meditate, your meditation to train. Then after that, I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. Okay. also still want to meditate, you can continue. But also have a mouth slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. And then repeat 6. We shall continue with the Vandana. Oh, sorry. Devaradhana, invocation to the devas. Okay, I will read the English translation, then after that we will get it to read the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heavenly release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu
Atha
Gacchantu Devata Svadhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anotaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachatang veditapu vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato Sakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yatitang Chattari Yurisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahuneyo Bahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Let's be blessed. Triple chant. Buddhang Pucemi Dhammang Pucemi Sanghang Pucemi Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will continue our second session, meditation reporting. Yeah? And followed by whatever question or sharing that you all have. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody, just put up your hand. We'll pass the mic to you. Any meditation reporting or question, you can just raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody. As usual. Very quiet. So what is it that you want to understand? Or anybody wants to share whatever experience they have regarding meditation, regarding the teaching, regarding life, you can. You need to arise condition for Dhamma to flow. Anybody? How's the meditation? I think by now you shouldn't have any problem. Most important thing is to understand what is meditation. Then when you are doing the meditation, means you know exactly what you are doing down there. And we have gone through this many times. Maybe as a revision, we get you all to partake now. Okay, you all tell me, what is it that you are doing in the name of meditation when you sit down to meditate or lie down to meditate? What is your understanding of meditation? This is very important. If you cannot tell me, that means you're still not sure. Then you are still following what you think is meditation. Anybody on the try? English. Yeah, good. Sadhu.
Meditation, like today, yeah. Just now I sit down, is
very good.
Just to train the mind to be mindful, because when I sit down, the thoughts come in. So
yes,
I just do the
anapanasati. Then you continue your anapanasati. Then what happened?
And then the thoughts come in, where how I drove in, the guard asked me,
okay,
I wind down window.
Yeah,
the thoughts go to there, and then
okay,
I pull back and go back to my anapanasati.
Very good. So you know what is happening. You see, this is what they call recollection. Through memory. You off the thing first, I explain, then you continue. You say through memory, as you sit down, these are the things that you will recall. We call this recollection. You recollect through memory of what happened because you have some form of awareness at that time. Then you can recollect this. And this is good compared to those who are heedless. Heedless means you completely got no control of what thought come out. The thing that you hold on to in life, that one will come out. It's your problem, your worry, your anxiety, your unfinished business or situation that you still like dwell onto. So those are the things that come out. Then sometimes you feel sleepy. Then sometimes you feel like lethargic. Then the worst is you are not peaceful at all. Then those who don't know how to meditate worse, they force themselves to become peaceful. That one all no use. But what you went through is good. You are aware that this thought come, recollect. So we go back to understanding meditation. Like Yin Bi said, you are here to train your mind to have heedfulness. Okay? That is key. Because this heedfulness need to be established. It can settle down and establish very fast if you have already trained before. Then if your spiritual faculty are stable, most of the time within less than 2 or 3 minutes you will settle down. What is more important is whatever thought arise, do not resist, do not force. Because when you do that, means the thought comes in. The thought wants to be peaceful. Then meditation ceases to be. Because that thought that seeks peace and calmness, or even in the Dhamma term, mindfulness, is already doing thought-based meditation. So what is important is you have to train this mind to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So if you have done anapanasati before, straight away you silent, relax, and just maintain awareness of the in and out breath. Then what happens next will be very beautiful. You continue.
How come we still can predict? After that, the breath, the awareness on the long breath in and long breath out is quite clear. And then at the same time, I can aware Brother Chin Hao is doing the bowing. So I said, wow, everybody is so diligent.
Sadhu.
I better be diligent also. Yes, so yeah. Slowly, no more thoughts. And then I can feel the vibration at the part of the leg. The other side of the leg is some sensation here and there. And then after some time, as impermanent, the thoughts come again.
Yeah, no problem. Just let it come.
The thoughts arise, something like, or maybe after I can ask variety of questions. This was the previous experience on don't know when. Before I went to Wat Na Long. One of the morning, I think, after I wake up.
I edit my meditation.
Yeah. So I just sat and then suddenly the image of this I don't know, it just
it will appear.
The water, clear water above and then the precipitate below. So the thing just understand that I'm settled down myself very like chen tian.
Very good.
Just understand that there is bu kou bu
jing. Correct.
Not dirty or not clean because just automatically, the top part is clear water,
the lower part is sediment. So that one haven't rooted out, need to root out.
So I just have this, and then after that, no more holidays. So just now when I was doing the meditation, this thing came, I said, I better ask Brother.
Yeah, good.
Thanks.
Good. So you see, when such image arise, it's good. Because these are the image that come from the inner nature. Is related to Dhamma, understand? Related to Dhamma means
I think this image come out because the mind go towards the story that the Buddha asked Ananda to collect water
three times
and then come back. Only the last time, the water is collected.
Clear.
Whenever I had heard this story, I had this. There must be something dirty or what
Sadhu, very good. I will explain it. In fact, in many of the transcripts, I have explained this. But tonight, I make use of the condition to explain this clearly. So, that story of Ananda collecting the water for the Buddha, and how after he managed to collect the clear water on the third time, when he passed it to the Buddha taught him this Dhamma, which is very important. So this must have an impact on you, because it is very important. If you don't understand this, you cannot understand meditation. You cannot progress. So the Buddha said, he told Ananda, what did you learn? So Ananda just speak the truth. He said, the first time I was there, the water is not fit for you to drink because there were a lot of bullock cart passing by. Every time the bullock cart passed by, it churned the water, stir up the sediment, then the water become like dirty or murky. So he couldn't manage to collect. Then he waited for a while, but no result, because not long, another block card go over, the same thing happened. So for the mind to settle down, he told Ananda, it's the same. When there is no more stirring of the mind, you understand? The block card that cross is like the stirring of the mind. So every time you stir your mind, there is heedless thinking, restlessness, sensual desire, ill will, fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind, doubt. These are the mental hindrance. So when the mental hindrance arise, it like stir the mind away from the natural state. And this arise because of your self-delusion, your lack of the five spiritual faculties. That's why this mind cannot settle down. And in the analogy of the water, is the water cannot become clear. There is no clarity. No clarity means the water is not clean, not suitable for drinking. But in the meditative sense, is the mind that is not silent, aware, with the clarity, cannot meditate, cannot understand. So this is what the teaching is all about, the message is all about. So he told Ananda, you must allow it sufficient time to settle down. Means the mental hindrance must slowly, slowly dissipate until finally no more mental hindrance. And there are two ways to do it. The Buddha also knew. If your spiritual faculty is not stable, the hindrance will arise. So the first way is to use an object of meditation to anchor the mind so that this mental hindrance cannot arise. Then when you anchor it to that thing, you must develop mindfulness. When you are mindful and aware, you don't think. You develop peacefulness of mind, piti. That's why piti is an enlightenment factor. So when piti is there, the mind does not stir, does not react, does not have like and dislike, means sensual desire and ill will. Yeah. Then because you feel the pleasantness of the mind, the calmness of the mind, you will like to meditate. Yeah. So this one will maintain the virya for you to continue your meditation. So sloth and torpor will also not be there. Then after that, restlessness of mind cannot arrive where there is no thought. Even fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, all these are movement of thought. But when you are aware there is no thought, there is no mind state. It's just aware. Of course, you can experience the piti, the sukha, but most of the time you are aware, mindful. Then the result of mindfulness is piti, sukha, the byproduct of it. That's how anapanasati is very conducive for the holy life, for the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful. So this one, in a way, when you are aware and mindful, you can stabilize it and become continuous
as long as you are mindful, the mental hindrance cannot arise. But then you can only do it in a form of meditation. Most people is that way. For those who want to carry this anapanasati into daily life, it's not so easy, but can be done. I got a teacher who can be in anapanasati 24 hours a day. Yeah. But most of these, they end up in absorption, continuous mindfulness. So the real four foundation of mindfulness, satipatthana, you have to release that absorption, that concentration, until that continuous mindfulness become like upacara samadhi, means just before it went into excess concentration. Apana samadhi means the deep concentration. So upacara samadhi is before you go in, so it's at the fringe. They call it excess concentration, before you access into apana samadhi. So the mind is collected and unwavering. But this is due to your anapanasati. This is not due to wisdom. But initially you need that, so that you stabilize it until it becomes unwavering and collected. Means it develops what they call samadhi. But this samadhi is not samatha. It's not over concentration. Apana means you either go into absorption or you go into one-pointedness. Then completely the mind becomes locked into the energy field. The thought also cannot arise. It's like everything killed into one point or absorbed into that mind which is in absorption. Then no thought. That's why they develop energy field, the energy build up. Then they experience jhana and all those things. So what the Buddha teaches is different. Because he learned from the first two teachers, the concentration and the absorption, the jhana and all those things. Then he is still not liberated, where he knew. His answer towards old age, sickness and death was not there. Because he has not developed the awakening of self-delusion. Awakening to the understanding of this five aggregate form and mind. They are universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering and empty nature and non-self nature, anatta nature. So because of that, he continued to pursue the meditation on his own. Then finally, on a fine day, when he received the mock rice from Sujata, he recalled his childhood experience when he was a child. He was in a harvesting festival. And he meditated, developing anapanasati. Then he reached the first jhana. The first jhana is excess concentration, not apana samadhi. So under the first jhana, the five jhanic factors are still there. But he only removed the first two, applied thought and sustained thought. So he removed the first two jhanic factors. Then piti, sukha, and this is what they call egagata. They are not strong. So there is no applied thought, no sustained thought, but thought can still arise. It's still more or less like a free mind in piti. So when he was in that state, he didn't went in anymore. Then he used it to reflect, contemplate. That's how he connect to his nature. Then from there he inherit. Then he understand all this because he has cultivated before. Then he starts to see many things. His past life, dependent origination, paticca-samuppada and all those things. Then through all this he understand the teaching, which he has already cultivated for many, many aeons and aeons of existence. So this is how he finally was able to teach to the world the real meditation. So that meditation that he came to realize is using mindfulness alone to develop wisdom, because he knew nothing frees you except wisdom. Jhana, concentration, absorption, one-pointedness, they are only temporary solution. Means they develop the energy field to suppress the anusaya, the latent tendency, the defilement, the mental hindrance, all this, because of the energy field is so still, so concentrated, thought cannot arise. But the wisdom is not there. And because the wisdom is not there, these are latent tendencies waiting to arise when there is condition. That's the reason why those who did energy field, concentration, absorption, jhana and other things, as they grow old, or as they neglect their practice of that type of meditation, their mind will lose its ability to be in the state of jhana, concentration. Then when that time happens, their mind becomes very weak because the mental hindrance will arise again. The evil root, the latent tendency, they will arise again. They are like pain body that I can't mention. Then they realize they can still get angry. Their mind can still arise, get affected, emotional, fearful. Especially when they get old, they go through old age sickness and pending death. There is a lot of fear. Then they check, how come last time when I was in those states, nothing happened to me? I was so calm, so peaceful. But now, because of the health reason, as you age, your body becomes different. Your energy doesn't build up like before. And like anything, after you have done it long time, it becomes like good food, no longer like before. So all this is going to affect them. So when they are affected, their mind state have what they call doubt. Then they dare not let people know. Then they continue to try to find out and determine. Some of them have very strong determination, then they continue to cultivate. But if they have the parami, they make the right aspiration, they will have the condition to come out of all those concentration or energy field to develop the wisdom and the understanding, then they can still become enlightened. But it depends. During the Buddha sasana, it's easier. Without the sasana, it's not so easy. Then coming back to the explanation, you see, this clear water is drinkable, means this clear mind that is in sati, mindfulness. When there is sati, the mental hindrance also cannot arise. So this sati is very important. That's why without sati, you cannot be heedful. Meditation is to train your mind until the sati arises, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. And this has to be done until it's so stable, until you can carry out this stability of mindfulness into your daily life. Means in your daily life, your mind also does not stir. Like no mental hindrance to stir the mind. Otherwise, the moment you step out of the retreat, not long, you go back to square one. Every moment of sense or experience or sense or consciousness, like every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, I tell you, you cannot maintain mindfulness because you are not stable yet. And because you are not stable, you can't be ever mindful. This mental hindrance will keep on arising. As they arise, it's the, as they arise, it's the. Means in the midst of life, you cannot be heedful. Just to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful and use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, which is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then after that, you have to cultivate the other path factor using the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So the form of meditation is to just train your mind, stabilize it, so that you are heedful in the midst of life. That is the purpose of meditation. Yeah. So having this understanding, every time you meditate, you ask yourself, am I mindful? Am I aware? If I am not aware or mindful when in the form of meditation, I don't stand a chance in the daily life. So what must I do? I got two choices. I must train using whatever method, technique or skillful means to be mindful, then stabilize it until it's ever mindful. Yeah. Then after it's stabilized, I must reach the stage of paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When you reach that state, you have to maintain that stability of mindfulness for as long as you can, until finally your mind enters sati. If your mind doesn't enter sati, I tell you, it's not easy to have the daily mindfulness. Yeah. Then when your mind enters sati, you become very different. You will know, the form of mind will know. With the sati inside, any of this movement, no matter how subtle, even your subtle breathing, subtle movement, subtle arising of thought process or whatever, the mind is fully aware. Then it's like magnified. All this movement, like a lot of movement inside, but you are fully aware. It's like the mind is continuously aware. Then after that, if you come out of it, how you move, it's like automatic. The awareness and the kaya, the physical action, body, they move as one. Then as you walk, the awareness is with you. As you see things, the awareness is with you. The specific phenomenal awareness, the seeing consciousness, the awareness just flow with the phenomena that you are seeing. It's no longer like last time, lost in thought, thinking, reacting, no more. Then even as you stand, there's awareness is inside there. And this awareness can be aware of all the tactile contact. You just let it run. Of course, no sound, like I said, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Yeah, aware. It's just aware. Yeah, but no sound. It can be aware of the heartbeat. It can be aware of whatever mental movement. Yeah. Then you can be aware of the seeing consciousness. Yeah. Then every movement of hearing is with mindfulness. The awareness is with that thing. No word on. It just understand. Then later on, you realize not only hearing, seeing, smell, taste, tactile is the same. Everything is like the awareness is there. When you eat, you just chew that thing without the word. You are just aware. And when you are aware, you cannot think. That's why this awareness will make you heedful, mindful. Then you got hardly any thought, little or no thought. Not until you reach that point of stability, your daily mindfulness cannot stabilize. And then bowing is very good. After that, whatever you do, you become very mindful. You stand, even you observe, look at nature. You are fully aware. You don't have to force it. It's a natural awareness. The mind that is in sati is aware by itself. Because your mental hindrance is not there to hinder you from becoming aware. So the thing that cloud your clarity of mind means your sankhara, your mental hindrance, they are no longer there. That is the stability of mindfulness. That's why the Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. And that is heedfulness. Yeah. So, if you use the analogy of the clear water, there are two aspects to it. If you allow the clear water to settle down, if no more blockade go across, means no more stirring, no more mental hindrance to create all the stirring of the mind, then you realize all the sediment will settle down. Then the water become clear. Your mind has clarity like the enlightened state. Without thought, without movement, just silent, still. This is the natural state of your true mind. Without thought, you are already aware. And this is what the true mind is all about. But the moment thought arises, is sankhara, mental activity, movement, the aggregates of mind. These are the ones that float around and cloud your nature, cloud your true nature. That's why you cannot understand your true mind. You cannot connect to realize your true mind because you are hardly aware, silent. Yeah. So all these sankhara movement, they are your mental states, your thinking, your planning, your scheming, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your whatever mind state, whether calmness, peacefulness, restlessness, agitation, or whatever. These are all sankhara. These are like the clouds that float around. That's why your nature, like the sun's ray, cannot penetrate. You cannot see the awareness, the pure light, the pure nature. Because these are like clouds that cloud you from seeing. When you are preoccupied with the mental state, with your thinking, you cannot be aware that you are lost in thought. Then your emotion, your mood, your whatever activity of mind, they will create distraction in you. That's how you become heedless. You are lost in thought, constantly lost in thought. Planning, thinking, worrying, then a lot of things to do. Want to do this, want to do that, attend to this, attend to that. Like, very busy. Then sometimes nothing to do, also think a lot. We are heedless. Then you feel sleepy. Then when the thought come, you feel unhappy. Then sometimes certain thought come, you project, you worry. That's what human mind, that is untrained mind, do. There is a lot of heedlessness within the human mind. They don't understand meditation. They don't understand the true mind. They don't know how to train. They don't know what is happening. So without the spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be there. That is like the blockade. Every time hindrance arises, it stirs your mind. Every time hindrance arises, it stirs your mind. Then when there is an evil root, it's the root of all evil, they make you evil. And what is evil root? Your craving, your desire, your selfishness, your greed, your lust, your anger, your hatred, your emotional negativity, your violence, your insincerity. What? Insincerity or unsincerity? You are not sincere, which means. So all this, then the worst is delusion. Delusion is your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your bitterness, your remorse, your regret. Then all these are the negative mind state that create the evil roots. So these evil roots will make the mundane mind evil. That's why it's the root of all evil. You have to root it out. Without the mindfulness to see them, and without the Dhamma contemplation of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, what constitutes evil, you cannot deal with the evil roots. You cannot deal with the mental hindrance. You don't even know what they are and how they condition you into those heedless state, and how it conditions you to deludedly grasp, cling and hold, and create all the affliction or suffering for you. And when you are entangled in it, conditioned by it to become miserable, you still don't know. You still get angry and point finger at people. Not knowing that all these are from your own self-delusion, ignorance, that condition you into those negativity or mind state. So the phenomenal world is like so real to you. Everything is like so real to you. Your physical form and mind is like so real. That's how you can be afflicted. You can have fear, worry, anxiety because you fear this body having problem, getting sick, getting old, and one day die. Even when you have problem, disease. Then a lot of fear of losing your job, fear of losing your relationship with your loved one, fear of your children not understanding you, that fear of financial failure or problem. Then there is a lot of problem that is related to life, and when you don't understand, when you come into contact with the realities of life, the eight type of reality, when you are with people whom you don't like, you cannot deal. When you cannot get what you want, you stir your mind, you react and become unhappy. Then when you confront the other reality, you got fear, you got worry, you got unhappiness. So all this leads to heedlessness, leads to suffering, misery. And this is what the Noble Truth is all about. So meditation is to reverse all this through understanding. To reverse all this means you have to train your mind from a heedless way of living into a new way of living life. Means you become heedful. You are no longer heedless. Heedful means you are ever mindful to cultivate the essential Dhamma, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, the four right effort, constantly working on it. And these are all meditation. That's why meditation is not only sitting, formal meditation. How many of you have read the WhatsApp that I sent out in Mandarin? That part. Actually, we went to our recent trip in China, Liuzhu, Huineng, the six patria way place. That book, my wife got it from there. I think quite a number of you all got that book. So inside there, you see, we got these three things, the key characteristic of Huineng's teaching. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu. So that one I sent out is Wu Nian, the silent mind. What is the other two? Wei Zhu or what? Wei Ben or Wei? Wei Zhong. No. Wu Nian, Wei Zhong. It's like the most important one. Zhong Dian. So this is the one that can meditate. Without this silent mind, you cannot meditate. That's why you have to train this mind. Then there is another place that he wrote. He said, don't think that all the formal meditation that you do is meditation. That one is not meditation. He wrote that very clearly. So all this who understand, they really can tell you. That's why I asked my wife to read to me. Then I was full of joy because I want to find out whether those monks there that wrote this book, they really understand Huineng or not. And when I heard this thing that she read, I was full of joy. At least there are monks who still understand his teaching. Because these are the people who specialize in his teaching. Because these are the temple that he built up. And Fa Hai did a good job. Because he actually transmitted to Fa Hai, the chief disciple, the what they call patriarchship, the mind-to-mind seal. That's why in the sixth Patriarch Sutta, they mention that the mind-to-mind seal was transmitted to Fa Hai. But the emperor or the empress, I think, appointed another one to be the seventh patriarch. So if you have that clear understanding of the cultivation, then you will know that these three things are the thing that you need to realize. Let's go through again. Eh? The three very powerful and unique characteristics of Yining's teaching are no thought, Wu Nian. After I made it, Ding Bi to help the man write the Mandarin word. You can write underneath here. Wu Xiang, no mark. Then you come and write. The third one is no dwelling. Then after I will explain. This one is very useful. Come in with, write the Mandarin. Oh, sorry. Wu Chu, Wu Xiang. Wu Nian. Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah. Sadio, eh? So now I explain to you. Now, with this explanation, after I explain, you will understand why it's so difficult for the Buddhist community and the world to develop the meditation. The first unique characteristic of meditation, which is no thought, because when you don't have any thought, means you are aware. Do you understand? When you are aware without thought, means you are mindful. This is the meditative mind. This is the mind that can meditate. If you don't even know this, what do? You go and do all the method and technique, the thought-based meditation, not here, not there, and do all those things. That's why to come to this stage is not easy for them. Do you understand? That's why training takes you directly to the true mind, the true nature, to develop the understanding. And this type of meditation is the fastest and the easiest. When you understand, it becomes very easy. What do you need for this no thought to arise? The moment you are without thought means you are aware or mindful. And this is the meditative mind. Because the moment you are without thought, you are silent. And this is the silent mind. That's why the silent mind is the meditative mind, which is the awareness and the mindfulness. So to be mindful, to be aware, is very simple when you understand. Always remember, don't try to be aware. Don't try to be mindful. Why? The trying is the thought. The thought wants to practice mindfulness. How can you practice mindfulness? Who is practicing? Who is trying to practice? The thought is trying to practice. The moment thought is active, how can you have sati, mindfulness? How can you be aware? How can there be a state of no thought? You can't. That's why don't try. Don't practice. The book that is going to come out is very good. There are three books. Two of them ready. I sent to Brother Tung recently. The second lesson and the third lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. These first two are very good. Then there's another one, the 54 one. The one, this Punchy translator one. And that one explained to you very clearly why you shouldn't worry about whether it's Theravada or Mahayana. They come from the same teaching. You make use of whatever that benefits you. When you understand, they are the same. So I explain all those things so that there is no more confusion. Then this, the lesson 2 or lesson 3, I mentioned about, I forgot what I want to tell you. What was it? I was at this. But inside there, I explained it very clearly. Let me recall. I have to recall because suddenly it is gone. Anyway, you wait till the book come out. Then you will know what is inside there. Then if condition come back, I recall, then I will explain it to you. So this one, the moment you are aware or mindful, yeah, you can meditate. That is the meditative mind. Yeah. And to be aware is very simple. You have to understand the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. That this is your natural state of mind, your true mind. If you don't create thought, thinking, you are already aware. And how did thought arise? Yeah? How did thought arise? The Buddha explained under his teaching the first two links. Avijja paccaya sankhara. So dependent on ignorance, yeah, arises mental activity. Sankhara is mental activity. So this is mental thinking, mental states and all those things. So what you need is to straighten your view. Straighten your view. Is to develop more and more right view so that you are less deluded, less ignorant, and less heedless. The moment you straighten your views, this angle S, eh? You will have less avijja. Less avijja means this first tooling is weakened. That's how you have less and less thought. So how do you straighten your view? You have to understand, like I explained earlier on, all this while, you have to understand the essential Dhamma. Means what constitutes ego. What constitutes mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. You can be aware very easily, naturally. But you must know why you cannot be aware because of the mental hindrance. Then the evil root that make you evil and stir your mind, like the blocker. So you need the opposite five spiritual faculty. All these essential Dhamma you need to know. Then you must have mindfulness. After you know the essential Dhamma, you must be aware of them. Means the essential Dhamma not just greed, hatred, delusion, no. Or sensual desire, you will restlessness of mind, sloth and torpor and doubt. These are words, no meaning. You must go into it. Understand what constitutes greed. Not only greediness, selfishness, craving, desire, attachment, clinging, all these are part of the evil roots of greed. Then anger and hatred, you will. It's not only anger, hatred. Your envy, your jealousy, your dislike, your unpleasant feeling, these are all under the evil roots of ill will. Then delusion is your lack of understanding of the truth. Self-delusion is the most powerful, and you cling to this fiery form of mind or this so-called human being, thinking that it's you, that is the most powerful delusion. Then everything is the I, the me, and the atta. And this is the one that create the evil roots of greed and hatred. When there is an I, there is an ego. This ego will want to own things, possess things. That's how greed arises. This egoic mind, personality, thinking that you exist, can get angry, can become violent, can become unhappy, can become emotional. That's why the evil roots of hatred, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, violence, all will arise. Yeah. then it will trigger off fear, worry, anxiety. If you attach to this five area form of mind, you fear death, you fear disease, you fear getting old, you fear losing your loved one, your possession, your wealth, your whatever title or image that you hold on to, things that you hold on to dearly. Your loved one, your possession, you're scared you lose them all. Then you don't know how to deal with people whom you don't like. Then when you encounter situation, you don't know how to attend to them. You don't know how to resolve them amicably. Then you resort to all the crude way, the uncivilized way, the heedless way. So all these got karmic implication, can bring about karmic friction, which could be very, very difficult to endure in the future when they arise. So all this is part and parcel of the understanding. Then when you have this understanding, you start to develop the right view with regards to law of karma. Then you come to know how the teaching come about, why the advice of the Buddha come about. Why must you keep your precepts? It's because of this first right view with regards to the law of karma. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you will have problem in life. And from this understanding, you will know why the Buddha say you have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. So to avoid all evil and do good is take care of karma. Purify your mind is to develop wisdom so that you will not be afflicted, so that you will not suffer. With all this right view, once you understand, then you can see things as they are, accept the reality of the moment for what they are, then you straighten your view, then you will not do all those foolish things, then your karmic nature will become different. Then your life will become different. Then you know how to make aspiration, aditan, like your whatever aspiration that you make. But aspiration has to be made with understanding. Like all Buddhists, most of them will make the aspiration to avoid all the foolish, meet out with the wise, so the enlightenment here and now can be realized as soon as possible. We always chant after the class, Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yahawani vanapatiya. But if you chant without understanding, it's like parroting, no use, understand? Then you want to make aspiration, invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless. But you don't even want to understand who are the foolish and the heedless. You still happily mix with them. That's why you cannot break free. Then you cannot understand who are the wise ones, the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. You are attracted to the title, the rope and all those things. Then you didn't have the ability to feel them, to understand their teaching, to develop the investigative understanding of what they share and other things. So aspiration need to be done with understanding. Then you vow life after life to have all this understanding so that when you come, you become different, you become beautiful. Then your training will straighten. Then as you have less and less wrong view, you will have more and more wholesomeness. Because when you follow the advice of the Buddha, you train. You train yourself to understand the essential Dhamma, the three right views. Then you train yourself to be mindful, to be aware of this, and the four right effort to purify. Then after that, you develop stability of mindfulness, which is meditation, to develop the wisdom. This one is for wisdom, the Huining's teaching. And wisdom is the last part of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's like Sila, Samadhi, Panya, wisdom, last one. Sila is to maintain your morality. So that the three things that come with holding precept will be there. Silena sukanti yanti. If you keep your precept, you are blessed with what? Happiness, joy. Your precept is the source of spiritual happiness, spiritual joy. Silena boga sampadan. What is that? Precept is the source of spiritual wealth. If you keep your precept, you accrue a lot of merits and you make those aspirations. Then you know how to attend to things. You make offering to the Sangha or to those that have the understanding and the teaching. Then they will in turn teach you the real teaching. That's why it's a source of spiritual wealth. Then you are in contact with people who are in the spiritual field, who also hold the precept, the morality and all those things. Like Kalyanamitta friend who walked the path of Dhamma, Dhamma friend. Then Silena Nibunti Yanti is what? Source of? Precept is the source of Nibunti Yanti. Nibbana. Source of peacefulness of mind. Understand not? Spiritual peacefulness. So without spiritual peacefulness, you cannot meditate. So the teaching is very simple. If you don't keep your precept, you are not serious about precept, you know what will happen to your life. You will have fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind. People who break their precept, they have a lot of problems. You agree or not? If you steal, you tell lies, you deceive, you cheat on your spouse, you partake intoxicants and do all the funny things. You even get yourself entangled with police case. How can you have peacefulness of mind? You will always be haunted by people. Understand? When people come to find out about what you do, not only people avoid you, despise you, look down upon you, and cannot even come near you or become your friend. You yourself will have fear, worry, anxiety. Yeah, you fear people come to know. You fear your own good friend, your parents, your spouse, your brothers, your sister come to know what you have done behind their back and all those things. So precept is very important. So because of that, you will have less mental hindrance, especially restlessness of mind. Then you will develop the ability to understand what mindfulness is. Because your mind, when you have your views straighten, your precepts develop, you will have more joy, more spiritual understanding, then peacefulness of mind. And these three things are very conducive for meditation. That's why from sila, samadhi kick in. You understand now? Without samadhi, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot develop the wisdom. This is what meditation is all about. So straighten your view, develop the precepts. Then train your mind to be aware, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then no thought can arise. You don't have to know, don't have to try, don't have to do anything. Just relax, silent and aware. Thought arise, let it arise. Initially, if you need anapanasati or anything to stabilize, you do it. Then until the anapanasati reach what stage? Reach the stage of? Pasati, remember? The silent mind, like no more breathing. Stay there until that one becomes very clear, very stable. Then if you want to go faster, lie down. Straight away the silent mind will come. Then I realized after that, of course I did it through the bowing last time. Then after that I realized I was mindful throughout the day. Yeah, after I did the bowing, I went and sit. The sitting becomes so easy. Because my mindfulness already developed. Then the moment I sit, I don't have to train. I realize that straight away, this anapanasati, within maximum 1 or 2 minutes, it just settle down, relax, then aware. Then become like no more movement, no more thought, still. Then it's just aware. Then later on, anapanasati also no need. Because the mind is already in sati. That's why the moment I sit, I just relax, rest. Silent. Straight away you go into stillness. No movement at all. Yeah. And this is what meditation is all about. Then the best is I remember in the year 1989, after I understood all this, I want to come out to test. Yeah. That's why I resigned from a comfortable job, semi-government. I come out to the private sector. I know private sector a lot of challenges. So I purposely come out. Then I was given a lot of things to do, what kind of those things. Then I realized my brain different already at that time. I saw all the suffering. Even trying to read, to remember, to understand, it's all suffering. Every moment of consciousness is suffering. Then how to work? Well, luckily, I'm very familiar with the job already. So I don't have to really remember anything. I just have to force myself to read and take down the pointer, important pointer. Then when I was going through this, I realized because of the job requirement, you have a contract with people, you have to do it. So you have to go for meeting and all those things. And these are all very high-level meetings. And in the meeting, I also sit down in a meditative state, cross my leg, so they thought I was sleeping. So there were many incidents. Then I realized, even after that first few weeks, especially the first 2-3 weeks, because that was the first time I subject my mind to so much mundane thing. No? To be familiar with a new place, new environment, the new way of doing things. Well, I was never with a consultant before. And as I do that, I remember the first 1 or 2 weeks, the moment I come back, I thought the moment I sit will be like last time, straight away, peaceful, quiet. Cannot, no? The moment I sat, but there was a lot of joy. I saw this sankhara, the brain here. Oh, then I understand, no wonder normal living being kaulat inside there. So much of this movement, because you have to use a lot of your mental thinking when you are at the office. You have to respond to many things, although you are mindful and aware. Then later on, I realized all this is not a problem. Then when I see, the first 2-3 minutes, I saw this one very fast. Then I just relaxed. I didn't do anything. You can use the word ignore. But ignore, if you don't get the right meaning, you go and reject it. That is wrong. So ignore means don't do anything to it. Just let it be. Yeah, this is a natural state when you have to deal with activity in the world. When you have to work, you have to use the brain, you have to use the thought. And when you use, you have to recall, you have to remember, because it is part and parcel of your job. Then you have to confront many things. So that was what was happening. Then when I came back, I still go to my second last teacher there for the weekly meditation, like you all. You have your Tuesday class, Thursday class. We all different. We have our Saturday and Sunday. We sometimes camp there, morning, afternoon, night, then supper. because we take turn to be there. And sometimes those who are with the faith, they continuously discuss Dhamma, and we go there, we meditate. So the moment I sat, all the sankhara move again. Then I just relaxed and silent. Then I saw it slow down. Slow down, slow down. Then within 2-3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, thump, still again. No movement. Then when my second last guy asked me to report, I just report. I said, yeah, sankhara. Well, they earlier heard me say no more. Then I said, because I came out to work. But I say I didn't do anything. I just relaxed, silent. The same meditation is not doing anything. Allow it to be. Because this mind that has been subject to that will have this problem. Then it will take a while to settle down. Then when I don't do any of this work, I relax and silent. That's a key support to meditation is this form. Relax, aware. Don't do anything. That is meditation. Don't try to be mindful. Don't try to be aware. Just relax, aware means silent. This one you can replace with silent. Just silent. Then it will settle down. Everything will settle down. Like the glass of water. No matter how spur hour, you just let it settle down by not doing anything. Then it will settle down. Yeah. Then after it settles down, this awareness will allow you to understand. Yeah. But I had the advantage where I already gone through everything. That's why the moment I relax silent, the sankhara is gone. Within less than 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, straight away it settled down. Then after the first 2 weeks, no more problem. Then throughout the day I can be aware, mindful. Yeah. Then later on, a few months later, I remember the Monday mind collapse. After the Monday mind collapse, all this no more problem until today. Yeah. Technically, I don't need to sit, I don't need to meditate anymore. Yeah, that nature has already become a part of me. This nature shine forth. Yeah, the Monday mind no more, like the cloud no more. Then inside there, nothing. Completely nothing. Here also nothing. Yeah. Then I just use this for my mind. The nature just use. And whatever is shared from this nature, it comes. That's why it's not true memory. Just now that first two books, when I want to explain to you, I remember what I want to say. But the moment I explain the third book, this so-called the memory of that gone. Because this one cannot retain. It's non-grasping. It cannot hold. Until now, I cannot remember what I want to tell you. Unless I open up the computer, I look at the transcript again. Now, then I will remember what I want to tell you. So these are the important things that you have to understand. Today, I go deeper into it because of condition. Envy create a very good condition. So straighten your view. Then you need to do the bowing, like what Jin Hao is doing. You do. Otherwise, you can do anapanasati. But the most important is maintain daily mindfulness. That one is the most important. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance at all, I tell you. And to have the daily mindfulness, either you bow until the sati come, your form and mind will know. When you are in sati, you just bow. Don't try to know whether right or wrong. Just bow. One day average 300 to 500, you do. Yeah. Because within less than 2 months, you will have finished the 10,000 bow. And I tell you, you will be very mindful. You can break it out into 2 or 3 sessions. One session, 100 over to 200 bow. Then 3 sessions is more than 500. Or one session, 250, 250, 2 sessions, 500. You just bow. Bow, then after that, come out. Mindful. Then bow. Not long, I tell you. Within less than 2 months or 3 months. Suddenly, one day, your form and mind will know what sati is. Because that body and mind move as one in perfect harmony in sati, the form and mind will know it. Then you know what sati is. Then after that, as you move from there, like anapanasati, when you reach the silent mind, the pasati, the awareness is there. Then everything you do, if it's sati, then you realize what sati is. Without thought, you are already in sati. That's why you just walk, mindful. Just walk. No need to even use the word mindful. Just aware, without thought. Body and mind as one. Walk until the body and mind become one. Then that mindfulness, like I explained last time, is not only lifting, pushing. No, the whole of the body is in awareness. The hand that is moving is in awareness. Then the leg that is moving, every part of it is with sati. Then as you walk, it's just aware. Then through the awareness, it will know birth and death. Birth and death. The coming and the going. And everything is just aware. Then you can see all phenomena, even the dry leaf, the moment they flew up. At the moment of awareness, it's arising, sustaining, and passing away. There and then, you see all the three. That's how your mindfulness has to be. Means at the moment of its arising, sustaining, and then passing away, there and then the mindfulness is there. Then you understand what is birth and death. What is the phenomenal world? anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. Initially, you have to see movement, then only you can see phenomena. You understand? Nature's phenomena, physical phenomena, mental, all the movement. But later on, without movement, even in complete silence and stillness, the awareness of it means the moment the awareness perceives, that is a phenomena. You understand? No movement. Where anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. You will reach that level of stability. Then in the midst of life, you are fully aware. Then I used to share with you, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? If you see, you always see. Because the characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state you see in your form and mind, throughout the day, the slightest reaction you will know. Your light and dislike, very subtle, you already know. Then, like I said, when you are very near cessation to realization of Nibbana, your mind becomes so sensitive. Every moment of arising of thought means to be conscious and to be aware of life is suffering. Every moment of feeling is suffering. The very fine one inside there. Every moment of perception is suffering. Every moment of thinking, knowing, the movement, that fine suffering inside, you will feel it. Then the mind doesn't want to arise. Then you will come to know. No reality. Everything is just the way it is. Empty, following nature's law, dependent originating. That's like anatta, empty nature. Not real. Then you will come to this understanding. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. This is how cessation happens. Then the mind, like cannot think. Want to arise also, don't want. No point. No need to know. That's why you keep on going back to the state of peacefulness. Then after that, you lie down and meditate, or you silent your mind, you go into cessation straight away. I remember that time for a few months. Keep on happening. That's how Nibbana can be realized. So you have to go through all this, because today there is conditioned for me to speak in greater detail. There are conditions so that people can understand, and this is recorded. It's very useful. So going back as a revision or run through, now you understand how the cultivation is. First, straighten your view through understanding the essential Dhamma. The essential Dhamma is very important. Then when you understand the essential Dhamma, you can put it into practice, like that day Ng B mentioned. First is learning. Then you learn, not knowledge, you learn with understanding what constitutes evil. What are mental hindrances that hinders your mind from becoming there? And you must go through one by one, mental hindrance. Sensual desire and ill will are words. But how you see it in life, when you react to sense experience, that is the real one. Understand? Your like and dislike, the subtle one, the movement, there are different people got different viewpoint. Things that you like, your husband may not like. Or other people may not like. So your like and dislike is different from other people. You have your own uniqueness. Then sometimes when you have the Dhamma already, you realize you don't have like and dislike already. Everything is just the way it is. If it's good thing, you just rejoice. Bad thing also, you rejoice, laugh. Because karma, understand not? You can't do anything. That's the way things are. People are like that. Deluded people do deluded things. That's why you can laugh. Oh, yeah, he's the way he is. You won't get angry anymore. Ayo, how can this fellow be so rude? Why he do things like that one? Oh, not shy one. In front of girl also, say all those things, do all. You will never comment like that anymore. But he is just the way he is. You just smile. Oh, okay. He is the way he is. And then you just smile. You're silent. And everything, when you just smile, you realize the effect or not. You can ask my wife. He went to me with the post, to the post laju, to collect a letter for my son. There was a Malay gentleman there. I think about 40 over years old. He was sending this parcel. I think it's a the one that you put in hot water or what you call? Airport, huh? He bought it from the factory direct, very cheap. So they mail it to him. So I went in with my wife, then we waited for his turn. Then he also need to go and do the other counter service. Then while waiting for that one, he looked at me, because I smiled to him. He also smiled back to me. Then after that, we talked. He was so friendly. Because I smiled when I started, and I really did love. Metta. That's why your mind become different. You will not say, "Ayo, Malay, don't try to play a fool with them. Don't create unnecessary." Once you got this type of sankara, you finish it. That's why you must have love. You must have friendliness. You must have metta inside you. You must have understanding. Be friendly. Be loving. SJBA's motto. Be a friendly what? Buddhist society. Last time, one whole year, your husband Chiva asked me to give those talks. Very good. Those talks were very good. I think it evolved a lot of things. Then we had a special, I think, one day seminar, I think, with the EXCO member. And everything. So all this is teaching you how to develop your own Noble Eightfold Path quality, to have right thought, right mind state, right speech, right action. Then develop all this with understanding. So these are the things, the right view with regards to the law of karma, how you function as a human being, paticca samuppada, and the Four Noble Truths. Then once you understand the essential Dhamma, phase one Dhamma, understood, means what is meditation or understood, then put it into practice. When you put it into practice with understanding, it becomes very easy. Where you have contemplated, you only need to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware of the mental hindrance, to be aware of the three evil roots. Then to develop the spiritual faculty. Then after that, develop the four right effort to constantly purify, abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then with the mindfulness and the understanding, after you straighten your view, you can prevent them from arising. Then arise the right effort to cultivate those right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then refine upon them, perfect them, all the virtue. Then if you are more serious, go for the bodhisattva vow, precepts and all things. You do more elaborate. Then after that, develop the training to be aware. Because you have to go beyond for right effort. You have to develop mindfulness, awareness. So keep your precept. When sila is being kept, the three type of thing that comes with sila, because sila is a source of spiritual peacefulness, spiritual wealth, and spiritual calmness and joy. Once you have these three, very easy to meditate. Then you relax, silent, maintain awareness. Then whether anapanasati or bowing or walking or whatever you do, even your vatna long, the three things you do also can. Sit, walk, stand. Then later on, last day or second last day, lie down. It's the same, whatever posture, you are there to stabilize that thing. Then use that stability of mindfulness to connect the four posture. That's what Satipatthana is all about, Sati Sampajana is all about. Do that. The moment you have that ability to be ever mindful in the midst of life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the four foundation of mindfulness, you progress very fast. In no time, the silent mind will come. And when the silent mind is there, you like hit the jackpot. Because the Buddha said, the heedful never die. You understand? And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Then, if you are ever mindful and constantly meditative, you are destined to realize the supreme Nibbana. All this already confirmed. Then if you are the wise one who intend on heedfulness, the Dhammapada verse 22, you will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. That's why you have to intend on heedfulness. That's why the Buddha, before his passing away, what did he tell you? Strive on with Just heedfulness, nothing else. With heedfulness, you will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. Why are you waiting to understand this statement and to put it into practice? Just to be heedful is not difficult. You train your mind to be mindful. And how to train? Bow or walk. Or anapanasati. Until you are mindful in the midst of life. Until you reach the silent mind, pasati, without thought. The moment you hit this, you like hit the jackpot. Then after that, the meditation go by itself. Like I told Song, after you connect to your true mind, your true nature, you will understand by yourself. Technically, I use the word, you don't need a teacher. If you have a right or good teacher who has gone through, he can help you understand faster, speed up the thing. But technically, they don't need teacher. Just through their silent mind, they will understand many things on their own. They will see things as they are. Then all the Dhamma, because of the phase one, when you see them, you understand. When you see them, you understand. Even the sutta, how complicated also, you understand. That's why after he came back, connected, a few years back, 2 or 3 years back, I think. Okay? Last time he read my note, he cannot understand. Suddenly he understand everything. Then the Mahayana teaching also, on the wall, and all that. Then even the Diamond Sutta, Jin Hao give it to him. He read, he understand. Last time he completely cannot understand. Why? If you come in the mind, understand, it's already in sati, with the silent mind, with the understanding, with the awakening. Then when you connect to the silent mind, you are with the nature, your true mind, without thought. And this is the one that constantly understands. It keeps on understanding. It will realize the truth. It will awaken to the truth. It can see things as they are. It will insight into phenomena, the three universal characteristics. It's not through thought, understand? Through that silence, it will awaken. It's like, suddenly you understand. Or they call it the aha moment. It's like, suddenly, like my second last teacher, she was showing to the Singaporean. He said, see, yeah? He tell the Singaporean. I was standing at the side, where I was really silent. She just moved her hand, no? Like that, 2 times only. He said, see? And now I show it to you, 2 times. It's just the moment the hand go up, I was fully aware. Then I saw this phenomenon. Then the moment he shift and move, this nature awakened to the three universal characters straight away. Then after that, I penetrate all. Then everything is big, so clear. Then I start to understand what is phenomenal, everything. Nobody teach me. Then I understand why it's called a phenomenon. That it's perceivable by the mind. And most of us thought phenomena is a movement, understand or not? If it's no movement, it's not a phenomenon. No. Whatever perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. But before you perceive, it's not a phenomenon. It's just awareness. Without words. Without concept. It's just pure awareness. Pure perception. Pure awareness. Yeah. Without the word, without the labeling, without the concept. So these are the understanding. So once you have this first stage, no thought, silent mind, then you develop the initial wisdom, then you cultivate the higher teaching. The higher teaching is the Diamond Sutta, Hui Neng Six Patria Sutta. Through the three universal characteristics, you will come to understand what no mark is all about. No mark of what? First one, no mark of a self cultivating. You will know where there is anatta. Then no mark of living beings. Yeah, these are all for my mind like you. Then even no mark of life, existence. Because it's empty nature, sunyata. That's why Kuan Yin in the Heart Sutta mentioned very clearly, Guan Zi Zai Pusa. When she was perfecting the Prajna Paramita Sutta, what did he realize? 造见无蕴皆空。He illuminated the five aggregates and realized that they were all empty. That's why empty of mark. No mark of a self, no mark of living being, no mark of life, no mark of... That's why he said in true emptiness, there is no birth, no old age, no sickness and death. There is no attainment to no form of truth, no old age, sickness and death and all those things. Because within the unconditioned world, all these don't exist. There is unconditioned. But within the conditioned world, all this exists. The Dhamma exists. OA sickness and death. Even karma exists. Recognition of relationship exists. Where this is mundane Dhamma. The other one is the unconditioned, supramundane Dhamma. So you need the supramundane Dhamma to free the mundane mind, understand not? From entangling. That's why you need to know no mark. No mark means no suffering. Do you understand? No mark means no reality. You understand? No? No mark of life. What else can there be? And like I used to share with you in the Emptiness Sutta teaching. Clang. Look at life. How real is life? The only reality is the present moment. Isn't it? We already gone through. Past already gone, not really. Future yet to come. The only reality is the moment. Moment to moment passes by. What are you doing? And how real is the moment? The moment I say, is gone. There's a split second, is dead and gone. How real can life be when the only reality is just within the moment? Arise, gone. And what is this moment? My Megate. Whether you are aware of it or not. You are not aware, you are not living. You exist a true life. You are preoccupied with your thought, heedless. And life is so simple. So this no mark, it will arise. Then after this no mark arises, through the understanding the three universal characteristics, you will have to go through a transformation. Transformation until the mundane mind collapse. Until the mundane mind collapse. After the mundane mind collapse, then you can reach the third stage. No dwelling. Without the mundane mind, the mind cannot dwell. Understand? Why? The true mind is without. The true mind is without what? Without thought. Understand? Without thought means what? No duality. Nothing to hold. How do you dwell? You look at the Buddha image, you perceive it, you dwell there. Understand? You listen to my voice, you perceive it, you dwell there. The true mind never perceives. The true mind is just aware. How can it dwell? That's why it's just like that. That's why this one, it doesn't need to dwell anywhere. But that nature cannot dwell. Then it echo and flow. Then it knows the form of mind is a form of mind, a vehicle and a tool for it to use. Then use it. Can you understand? Okay, very good. 10:30. Another 1 minute to go. You all can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Should thank envy for the good condition. Sadhu. Oh, see? Exactly 10:30, my wife's alarm. So tonight one is very useful. If you can understand this, you will understand the cultivation. Do you realize one thing or not? As you understand, my nature will share something deeper. If you can recall during the early days when I tell you, what this nature understands is so much more. But I can't share because you all have not developed the progress. Otherwise I say, nobody understands. And everybody start to look at me. Well, dear, what is all this? God on.
Mundane mind collapse means cease. What is collapse?
That whole consciousness, that mundane mind. That's why I told you, you got two minds. One is the gross one. That one, very gross one. That one is called the thinking mind, the mundane mind. And this one, a lot of image one. Yeah. Very gross one. But what happens is, when you connect to the true mind, the true nature, your whole of your vibration becomes so fine. That's why it becomes so still until no movement. Then this nature go in through trust. You remember the last support? Through trust. Go through your gateway. It go through your gateway, it transforms inside until your whole of your internal, they call it chakras and nadi, completely transform. This is a real transformation, not the one that temper through energy field using the thought to go to the third eye, to go to the tan tien, to go to your heart and all the seven chakra. They use the external thought to put in energy and activate the thing. This is called tempering with the chakra. That's why the energy release is very powerful, but it is harmful because you don't have yin yang, the wisdom. That's why it's out for your more. The yin yang sometimes they become very hot, extreme yang. Then very cold, extreme yin, because there is no balance. So after this one goes in, the vibration becomes so fine until this mundane mind cannot withstand the vibration. Then what does it do? When you are in a place where the thing, the vibration is so fine, you are so gross, you will die. That's how it perish. That's how it collapses. And how it collapses, I won't tell you. You go and find out yourself. Otherwise, you look for it. A lot of things happen in your brain. Your brain becomes completely different. Then a lot of things happen. Then when it collapses, I can give you a hint. The whole layer of consciousness last time used to be there, suddenly drop off. It's like the wheel, V-E-I-L. You see, those ladies who like to cover their face, there's a wheel. Like this wheel of ignorance, just drop off. After that, therefore my mind is so amazed. That's why I was telling my wife, for 5 days, I remember, what is happening? I look at nature, everything was the same. But how come now I see differently? Last time with that mundane mind, I see with all those images, everything else. But now there is nothing to cloud you. That pure nature shine for all. Then I was so amazed. That's why I said, how come now I start to see everything? That's how I can tell you. For those who see, they always see. All of a sudden, this true mind, this pure awareness, suddenly shine for now without you doing anything. It is just aware like that. And it's just like the oneness thing like that, just aware. That's why everything becomes so clear. Every movement, every activity, every arising becomes so clear. And not until that thing happens, the no-dwelling cannot happen. That nature cannot come out. But that nature can manifest when the mundane mind is no longer there to cloud that thing. And this one, only Bodhisattva can do, the very far end. Not everyone can do. The awakening is a great thing. For him to understand this, he is a great being. So, now coming back, final summary here. I already told you, to reach this no thought, sati, already so difficult. Hardly anybody really knows sati. Then, to develop the practice is even more difficult. You can't hit this point, means you are trapped in thought. Trapped in all the labeling. Noting, verbalization, chattering. Yeah, you can't be silent, you can't be aware. And you don't know the mental faculties are important to overcome all this. And how to train yourself to have this through all this that I explained. You don't stand a chance. You cannot get it, I tell you. You can go and practice. You go and recall what they teach you and what you practice. That's why I said last time, in and out of retreat for umpteen years, the moment you come out, not long, you go back to square one. Because you cannot have this heedfulness without thought, ever mindful in the midst of life. And the Buddha said very clearly, the heedless are as if dead. Without heedfulness, you don't stand a chance. Then, after your mind, silent mind, stabilized, awakened to the three universal characteristics, then it developed the wisdom, perfect itself, until it reached a point of stability where you understand clearly, no mark. This one is going to take quite a while. After you penetrate this, then only chances you can develop the thought, meditation, trust, without thought, the nature do. But by then, you must locate your gateway. Otherwise, this one, no thought, sainthood way also can get it, when you are mindful, aware. Then after that, this sainthood way must stabilize until very stable. Then you take the bodhisattva way, you will realize no mark first. Then after that, you will connect to that true mind, that nature. But if you have done it from the past, this life you come, based on what I teach you very fast. That's why I say the moment you are aware, stabilize it, lie down, silence everything, and go to your heart. Don't do anything. Just let the awareness detect. Because that gateway can only be detected by the true mind without thought. Nothing else can detect it. And when you detect it, you will know. The form and mind will know. Because it's like something very soothing. The yin and yang energy that you cultivate before, even your qi gong or whatever, or even absorption, jhana, everything, they will melt inside. Then after that, you become still, completely still, just aware. Then you progress very fast. Yeah. The one that do energy field, they got problem with doing the fourth one, trust. You know why? They don't know how to relax. They want to hold on to the energy. It's just like Ren Zai Jiang Hu. He will want to hold on to the sword, understand? Without the sword, he's not a swordsman, understand? That's why he will hold on to the jhana, the concentration. Without that, he's nothing, understand? He's nobody. That's why they cannot locate. But if they can release all those energy fields out and go back into daily mindfulness, follow the Satipatthana, standing aware, sitting aware, walking aware, lying down aware. Then Sati Sampajana to connect all the movement in a free mind state, then they will penetrate. So with this, we will end. Let us rejoin Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Then we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then you can make your aspiration. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed today. Then let us share and dedicate this marriage to all beings, starting with the devas. Akka sata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana itawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imena punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Maitreya, Kuan Yin and all the other 21. Now I remember what I supposed to tell you. You're inside there. One of the sharing was the newspaper, Star newspaper, they wrote about mindfulness. I explained that one. That one, the right count was not bad, but they themselves don't really understand. That is one of the best, and yet they themselves don't really understand. That's why they contradict themselves in many places in the article. Now you go and read that one, you will understand what I tell you. What mindfulness is all about. That one is very good. Cannot be practiced. Mindfulness cannot be practiced. Opening statement until the end, I keep on stressing that. Well, who practice? The thought practice. When thought is active, how can you be mindful? You cannot. That's like all of a sudden, when I stop everything already and nothing to do, then the thing comes back. Okay.
Dear brothers and sisters, let us express our gratitude and respect to Brother Teo for sharing the Buddha Dhamma with us by saying sadhu 3 times.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Is it Brother Chin Hao? Fetch Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo here. Thank you very much, Brother Chin Hao. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And sadhu to Brother Tune, even though Sister Pak Masuri is not around, you can handle all by yourself with the help of your maid. Sadhu, yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And to Uncle Tune also, and the maid also. Thank you very much.
Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu.
Also, he prepared very good dinner for us.
Sadhu to all those who bring the offering items.
Puja offering items.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So my nature also rejoice with all your wholesomeness. Because of condition. Today one is very beautiful, very unique. This one you will need it when you progress. Then you will understand all this. After you progress, you remember today's date, Thursday class, 30th November. Take photo. Yeah, 30th November. 30th November.
Actually, Radio, that Sunday you shared, I think on the 5th of November, 5th of November, you shared on the impermanence, suffering state and the anatta, where you mentioned there's understanding on pusan pumi. It's very good. It was very good. I listened to it. Very good.
That one you can understand. Very beautiful.
And then with this, what settlement of the sediment?
Pusan pumi.
Just like that. Nothing added, nothing subtracted.
Yeah, that nature is like that. Yes, the unconditioned.
I have this minimal understanding on this tree.
Very important. Very happy. Because as you go through all this world surface, then as you understand more, you listen again, all the meaning come out, all the words come out. That's why I used to share during the early day. You may think it's just a simple talk, but do you understand? I tell them, that was 13 years ago when I came out to share. This Dhamma can be understood by beginner until those who are very advanced. No matter who you are, how advanced you are, you listen. If you can understand, you will reach that level. And it caters for all cultivators. That's why it's not easy. To use simple words to cover that depth of understanding is not easy. Because that depth of understanding comes from that nature's perfection. It's just like the Buddha when he teach, different period, different time, he teach differently. But his understanding is the whole of the teaching. Even though he teach, you can call it Theravada. That's why in that book, which is going to come out, I say, don't worry about Theravada and Mahayana. Whatever Mahayana teaching, it through your Theravada awakening, you cannot understand that Mahayana teaching is a wrong teaching. Not the truth. If it's the truth, the Theravada teaching through the awakening will understand the teaching. It's no different. They come from the same Dhamma. And when I mean, what I mean, Devata teaching means the truly awakened one, not those who cultivate Theravada teaching only. If you really awaken to the Theravada teaching, the anatta is very deep. It's like sunyata. That's why I used to tell you, anatta is not only non-self. Remember? Non-self is just a very small aspect of anatta. That's why the Buddha says, rupang anatta. Rupang, where got life. How come it's also anatta? Where it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That is the real anatta. And because it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, it's dependent, originating, that's why it's empty. Dependent on condition it arises. When condition cease to be, it ceases. Then how real can it be? Why can't you see all this? Your form and mind is the same. You think since birth until now, you think it's real because you have been using it for so long. Like your car, beyond economical repair, you just condemn it. But your physical form and mind, you dare not condemn it. You say, die, Lord, cannot. So all this is understanding. Okay.